I hope you're having a fun and safe 4th of July week, if you're in the U.S. And if you're outside of the U.S., I hope you're just having a great week in general. I'm actually taking time off this week to have a fun family vacation, so I'm taking a pause to release an episode from the vault. And this week's Simple Brand episode features a From the Vault discussion with Stacy Hunke. Listen, your team is only as strong as your influence. And sadly, too many leaders today are mistaken about what it means to be influential. Stacy shares her methods for improving your communication and producing the ideal type of influence, the one that moves people to action long after an interaction is over. And she dispels the most common influence myths and teaches us how to stop sabotaging ourselves in order to leave a positive, lasting impression. We'll be back next week with our regular schedule of all new interviews with all new guests. But for now, enjoy this From the Vault discussion with Stacy Hunke.
Welcome to the Simple Brand Podcast, the show dedicated to helping you create simple experiences for your customers and for your team members. Each week, we're bringing you amazing interviews with business leaders and authors who will teach you how to differentiate your business with the one thing your customers need the most, simplicity. Your customers live in a complex world. Let's make it simple. Now, here's your host, Matt Lyles.
You know, it seems like we can't go through a whole week without seeing in the news where some business leader has been ousted from their company based on a communication that they had or based on some sort of action that they did that was against that company's brand. And as business leaders, we need to understand that we're brand champions of the company where we work. And with that, we have a responsibility to choose our words and to choose our actions wisely. And even if we're not in the public eye, we think about our own career. Our own career is tied to what people think about us, what people say when we're not in the room. And that's tied to the words that we use. That's tied to our actions. And those come together to define the level of influence that we have. The level of influence we have with our team members, the level of influence we have with our peers, the level of influence we have with our management and leadership, and the level of influence we have with our customers. And that's what we're talking about today. Your influence. Your influence can be a major barrier for your career growth. It can be a major barrier for your company's success. Good news, there's a way to develop and manage your influence. And we're talking with my friend Stacy Hunke today about it. Stacy's the author of the book, Influence Redefined, Be the Leader You Were Meant to Be, Monday to Monday. She's trained and presented to thousands of business leaders to help them with their communication and their body language and to choose their words wisely. Her client list is vast, from Coca-Cola to McDonald's to Nationwide, Boeing, U.S. Cellular, Discover, and my favorite, FedEx. And in addition to her clients, she's a TEDx MC. She's inspired thousands as a featured guest in media outlets, including The New York Times, Forbes, Entrepreneur, Thrive, Smart Money, The Economist, Business Week, and The Simple Brand Podcast. And she's a certified speaking professional. That may not sound like much at first until you realize and understand that the Certified Speaking Professional accreditation is earned by less than 10% of speakers worldwide. That's how you know that Stacy is an expert at communication and body language. And those are very key and your influence with others. And that's what we're talking about today. Here's my interview with Stacey Hunke. Hi, Stacey. How are you?
Hey, I'm doing well, Matt. Thanks so much for trusting me with those followers of yours.
Oh, thanks for being here. This is exciting. You and I met, two, 3 years ago at FedEx.
Yes.
And it's been really cool to follow along with you and to see the work that you're still doing today.
Oh, thank you. Well, thanks for following. And FedEx is a very dear and long-term client. So I'm glad we got a chance to meet there. But kudos to you for what now you're doing that brings us back together today. It's pretty cool.
It is cool how it all comes back together.
It does, doesn't it?
Well, you know, I have read your book, Influence Redefined, and I have recommended that to a number of people over the past year. But, you know, I want to understand, you know, from your perspective, what's the greatest misconception that people have when it comes to influence?
Biggest misperception, they believe they have more influence than they really do. And I know that's a really, really big statement. But the book really has the research, the data that we've been doing over the past 18 years to really prove how we can stand behind that statement. And that misperception comes into play because we go off of our feeling. We base how we feel determines the level of influence we have. Or we base it on the years of experience that we've had. Or we base it on years of experience personally, not just professionally. I truly believe that if you're going off of your feeling, you're going under misperception of how you feel rather than what everyone else is saying or what everyone else is experiencing when you're interacting with them.
How can somebody get a better feel for how people are perceiving them instead of just going on their feel?
Yes, we're just jumping right into the meat of it, Matt. Oh. Everything that I talked about, and anyone that's ever heard me before or read any of our material, is feedback is number one. The challenge is the type of feedback you're getting. You know, you and I both know that the good, nice job gets you nowhere in life. You really do have to find individuals from both angles, personally and professionally, that really tell you, what do you do? Body language. What does your body language communicate that works, that has impact, that is memorable in a good way? What are you doing? What are you saying that makes it difficult for someone to follow you? And this applies to all mediums, whether you're in person, you're virtually, you're on the phone, whatever it might be. So that's step number one. For those of your listeners who want to take it to the next level and really tap into how do I come across, we all know that the most effective way to that is through video. Seeing ourselves, observing and hearing ourselves through the eyes and ears of the listeners is what reality states. Until we do that, Matt, that's this piece of the guessing. There's such a misperception of how we feel when we communicate, even when we're listening. I still think listening and sitting still is communication versus what reality states. And I really believe that without feedback and video, you're walking around guessing. You're relying on the unknown. You're relying on feeling rather than on fact.
And I guess your own personal perception, which may be a bit skewed.
Hugely it's skewed. I think when anytime you hear people say they don't like to see themselves on recordings, or right now that we're living this world of Zoom, there's a lot around talk around Zoom fatigue. And I was reading some science around it last week. Oh, yeah. That talks about you're not used to, when you're in a conversation, seeing things behind you, around you, in front of you, and not used to seeing yourself. So that's a lot of stimuli that your brain waves have to try to balance through where you really need to focus. There's this uncomfortable feeling, from what I hear from many, that when they see themselves, it is different. When they hear themselves, it sounds different. So to get your arms around that, that's the uncomfortable part. But yet we all know that anything that's uncomfortable in life, if you can get to the mindset of being comfortable with that concept, that's really where the changes start to be made, the enhancements, the development is made. Nothing happens when we sit still. And that's why I really focus on recommending to our clients feedback and video or audio.
And, you know, just little known secret. Honestly, the only reason that I'm doing this podcast is so that I can practice my audio and listen to my audio.
Good for you. And I was going to bring that up because this is huge, right? You obviously record all these. I listen to any recordings that I do. However, your listeners can really take an easy step every day. Go to your phones, record yourself on your phone. We've got the technology to easily do it. I still am getting some of my clients not wanting to turn on their webcams. Now, I get it now if they're not camera ready, but even when we were fully in the corporate offices, we were trying to influence our clients to turn on their cameras because we knew that if we can't be in person, being able to see individuals just takes your relationship to a deeper level. And that deeper level is important because over time, that's where influence comes through. At that point, Matt, we would have clients that would say, I don't want to turn on my camera. I don't want people to see me. And I thought, but people have seen you all day. The camera is the eyes and ears. The camera is always on. You're always seen by others. Here's the good news. When you do get a chance to really take a look through everyone else's eyeglasses or through their eyes, you really get an awareness of when you're in a conversation, how you're coming across. Right now, most individuals are not. So when I talk about increasing your self-awareness through feedback and video or audio recordings, playbacks, what that really does is when you're in a conversation, you know when you are saying too much, you're rambling, you lack brevity, you're not connecting, you're not engaging, or whatever the challenge may be. Without feedback and video playbacks, your awareness isn't there. Therefore, you can continue to make the same mistakes, stay stagnant, never grow, and influence doesn't happen consistently as often as it could.
It can be uncomfortable. It can be uncomfortable watching ourselves on video, listening to ourselves in audio. But I would also say that a lot of people are uncomfortable with feedback. It took me a long time to be able to get comfortable getting constructive feedback, like not just the pat on the back, hey, good job, Matt, but getting real feedback from others.
It's hard to hear. I think you made a comment, it's uncomfortable. Of course, it's all uncomfortable, but anything that requires us to truly develop is uncomfortable. So you kind of got to get over that, right?
That's
you
right.
You need to have the courage, not the fear, that the discomfort's going to set you back. The feedback I hear from many of our clients, we want to be careful with the feedback. Our leaders have worked hard to get to this position. When I hear that comment, my response is, that's exactly why they need continuous feedback. They're in the face of the company, of everyone else. They are the name of the company. The feedback too, how you can make it to a point where you're more open to welcoming it, is always prepare for the feedback. An example, Matt, would be if we, before we start this recording, if I would have asked you, here are the three things or two things that I want you to watch for, I want you to listen for, would you give me feedback after the recording is done? Another way of doing it, if we weren't recording and we were just having a conversation, you and I, you could also interactively coach me in the moment. I know that's something you and I did at FedEx. Anytime that you can get feedback in the moment, for example, ask your child, ask whomever you're sharing that home space with right now, perhaps during lunch today or dinner tonight, tell me when I start my sentences with so. Tell me when I'm saying too much, you're not able to follow it. That is feedback. The challenge is when we ask after the fact, how did I do? You don't get constructive feedback. And then you walk around life going off of the good, nice job, while the true feedback is probably being stated behind your back and you don't realize it's happening.
One big mindset shift for me was to recognize that given from the right people, feedback is a gift. And if it's coming from the right people that are providing me feedback, they're only going to provide feedback to me if they care about me. And that's really helped me.
That's true. And I recommend it for no matter what line of work you're in or what position you have, the feedback always will be the gift. Sometimes it's the gift you don't want to receive. You do get to decide if you want to take it, if you want to take action on it. I do believe, though, if you ask for the feedback, do something with it. Like if that individual,
absolutely.
Right, if they had enough courage and time and to really focus on your communication to give you feedback, do something with it.
Absolutely. Because that will encourage them to keep providing feedback. They'll say, oh, you know what? They're actually doing something with this.
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, going back to getting real-time feedback, a couple of years ago in my career, I got some like really in-depth surveys from across a broad spectrum of people that I worked with. And one of the common themes that came back was I was overly animated and had overly animated facial expressions. And I know that must surprise you because I don't know how I can come across as animated without anybody.
I don't either. I was telling you, yeah. I was thinking I was going to ask you to work on that.
One of my close peers that I worked with regularly, we were in meetings, you know, multiple times a day. And I trusted her enough to say, you know, this is the feedback that I'm getting. This is something that I'm working on. Can you help me with real-time feedback? And we set up a system where if we were both in a meeting and I was acting overly animated, she would subtly tap her fingers on the table. And then I would know, oh, I need to dial it back.
That works. And it can be something as simple as that. I think feedback, and part of feedback to me is still the video and the audio recording.
Oh, yeah.
Is part of your culture. It has to be part of your day-to-day. In my book, Influence Redefined, I talk a lot about how do you do that? How do you do it? Create influence through your body language, through your messaging. The good news is we're in conversations all day long, no matter what medium we're using. You really can be focused and practicing one conversation at a time, practicing how you show up, how you stay showed up, how do people experience you. You can be doing that all the time. It's just turning on the consciousness of today, I asked for feedback at least once, or sitting there on Monday and putting your plan together for the week, I'll ask for feedback at least once a day for the next 7 days. These are all items that you don't need to carve out extra time on your calendar. It's carving out the consciousness of really taking a close look. How do I come across? Am I multitasking on Zoom calls? I can't tell you how many times I've seen that in the last 3 months. And I want to say individual, your camera's on. I can see you. Right? I mean, treat it just as respectful as you do when you've asked them to join you in a conference room. There's so many opportunities in our day to be asking for development around our communication, around our ability to influence. It's like eating lunch every day. We have to eat lunch every day. Even if you do it at your desk, you still do it. Maybe that's another way to approach it, to really put your development into your day-to-day. And that's when it becomes routine, because anything that becomes consistent in your behaviors starts to become permanent.
That's right. If you can build it into a habit, then it just becomes second nature.
Exactly. You got it, right?
Hooray. All right. Well, you know, one of the things that's really intriguing is the way that you talk about influence, and you talk about influence Monday to Monday. Mm. What do you mean by Monday to Monday?
Yeah, everyone asks that, right? It's twofold. First, Monday to Monday is making sure that your communication is consistent every day of the week. You cannot turn influence on and turn it off. And we all know people that do this. It's usually anything that would be high stakes conversation to them. A sales pitch, a boardroom conversation, a meeting with your leader, a presentation. It's about no matter when they see Matt, when they interact with you, they always get you. You always come across confident. You always come across knowledgeable, trustworthy. So that's the first part. Monday to Monday, there's never any guesses. Going deeper, in addition to Monday, behaving the same way, I shouldn't say same way, consistently.
Consistent, yeah.
Making sure that your body language and your messaging, they're consistent Monday to Monday. Too many times I'll see individuals talking during a high stakes conversation and they're very knowledgeable and outgoing and charismatic and seem like they really care and they're connecting with their listeners. Then you see them off that stage, they're totally different. Or how many times have you maybe experienced this, because I've heard this from other podcasts that I've done, is before we interviewed, before we started the recording today, Matt and I, we did some small chatter. How many times, Matt, have you seen a person in that space with you different from when you say, okay, we're recording, roll on, here we go.
And then they're on.
Right. They're on. And I get it. I mean, we write a lot in the book around adaptability. I'm talking about get the core skills that make you consistent. For example, you cannot and ah with your friends and family on the weekends, then get into meetings, Zoom calls with your clients and not use a single and ah. It doesn't work that way. It has to be all or nothing. And I think especially now with the so many changes that we're experiencing is who's going to stand out from all this noise? It's individuals that really feel connected with you. They feel engaged. They feel they can trust you. And some of that too, Matt, is part of having empathy. You're really communicating with empathy, meeting the individual where they're at. That is now another element, I think, that has come through all this that is critical to have influence Monday to Monday.
Well, describe that further. Tell me more about empathy. How does empathy relate?
Well, when you first get on a call with individuals, you don't know what's going on in their world, personally and professionally. You don't know the layers that they are sitting on, that they're trying to deal with. If we don't meet them where they're at, for example, I always, and this was something you and I did, you know, with everything that's going on right now, currently, as this podcast is being recorded, I was curious where you were at. Where do you live? Are you in danger? Are you safe? Because if you were in a situation that wasn't pleasant right now, and I never addressed that, and immediately I just start talking about myself and what I plan on talking about during this podcast, you see the big disconnect. Mm-hmm. And that behavior, that approach to any conversation right now is going to drive people away. Please don't get confused though with empathy and sympathy.
Oh yeah.
You know, empathy is just really, to me, is you've got to listen. Doesn't mean you agree. You have the answers. You're just trying to get them to a place where you now can meet them, where you now can talk through what can you do to help them. And if nothing, we just don't want to walk the path of sympathy, because then I think you put a big spotlight on a problem that doesn't yet have a solution. It'll be tough to drive the conversation forward. That's another piece of empathy. It really drives the conversation forward. That's a big key to influencing action.
I think so, because empathize with customers is one of my six behaviors for creating a simple experience. You know, when you empathize with someone and they recognize that, they feel understood. And when people feel understood, they trust you more.
So true. And that's part of meeting them where they're at. And we have to be so sensitive right now because we don't know what's going on in everyone's world. If they're focused on what's going on in their world, if you never acknowledge it, and I'm not saying acknowledgement is, I understand, I hear what you're saying, I think that's total fluff. When I say acknowledgement, it's really acknowledging the issue, the challenge that they're having, and then move on with the conversation. If you don't take that step, again, another step to empathy, they won't hear you. Or you sound like you're insensitive, you're deaf to what's going on, which communicates you don't care. Who would trust that?
Right.
Instead, they might be on that call and continue out of respect to listen to you. But we're talking about influence happening sometimes long after an interaction has occurred. You and I both know that influence doesn't happen, or the relationship doesn't get to the point where you're ready to reach that call to action in one email, in one Zoom call. It's a series of experiences that someone has with you over time. That series of experience, though, they can see that you're very consistent. That's what builds trust, and that's what influences action in the long run.
You know me. You know, I come from a brand management background, and that's exactly what we teach. You know, brands aren't built overnight. Brands aren't built by one big campaign or one Super Bowl ad. They're built by the consistent incremental actions over time. It's the sum total of all experiences that somebody has.
Oh, so true. And anyone listening right now, when we say brand, there may be a famous brand that comes to mind for them. FedEx, of course, exactly. And you go back to those places, you rely on their service, you trust that relationship because you always trust, you know what you're going to get. I have a FedEx store that's not far from me here in Chicago down the street, and I know what I'm always going to get. I know it's reliable. My packages will get there in time. They treat me right. And that's what you can also do, though, through your personal brand. I'm not talking about your company's brand, because that's successful because they made it their brand. When it comes down to you and that client, it's not FedEx's brand only. It's now the experience they have with you. It's your personal brand.
Right.
That's the consistency we want to work on.
Absolutely. And you know, like I tell people, your brand should not be like a box of chocolates. People should know what they're going to get.
That's good. Exactly. I don't want people guessing. I think the biggest compliments I ever get when I show up for an event that I'm going to be presenting at, most of those conversations with the meeting planner, the buyer, is all via phone, via email. We really haven't met. And when we meet, there's been numerous times they'll make comments of, you're just like you were on the phone call. You're so similar to I'm talking to you live versus also when I talk to you via email. That's probably the biggest compliment anyone can get.
So long as you're consistently acting in a way that people want.
That's true. Here's the good news. If you think about all the conversations you'll have today, the conversations that you'll have this week, to some degree, you get to predict, you get to control the reputation that you want others to have of you. And it all comes down to how do they experience you? So from the minute you show up to how you stay showed up, the conversation, the interaction, to also what you leave behind. And that may be a call to action, which is another element to influence. That may be follow-up. I'm amazed at how we forget that our silent behaviors also determine our reputation. Listening on a Zoom call or listening in a meeting, people are watching you. How you respond, your timeliness to email response, your follow-through. It is the full package.
It's the sum total of every experience.
That's right.
Well, so have you ever had any experiences with, with clients or anybody else where you realize, hey, I was talking with them in email or text or phone, and they were communicating one way, but now that I'm with them in person, now they're completely different.
Yes. How do you manage? Yes. It's happened numerous times, but there's one that stands out in particular. It was a meeting planner. We communicated via email leading up to the event, maybe had a phone call. I remember thinking, getting a little uncomfortable working with her, just very harsh. No. There was no connection, no engagement. Well, you know where the story goes. I meet her in person and I thought, wow, you are the kindest person. I got along with her. Well, I leave the event, heading back to the airport that day. I realized on my way back to the airport, I left my laptop. I left my laptop in front of the room where I was presenting. Well, I was going to miss my flight. So I started texting her, asking her, you know, could they ship the laptop? How can we make this happen? And she was back to who she was as she was via email. Now, I really want to give everyone a benefit of doubt, especially someone like her. I really believe that a lot of individuals don't always recognize how they come across. And I only can stand behind that because of the workshops that my team does. You know, if we're talking about video and audio recording, we do a lot of that with our participants. And participants are shocked. They're shocked when we sit down with them, we start watching their playbacks, and they look at us and say, I had no idea. Oh, that's why Matt always said, I looked upset in our meetings. I don't mean to be upset. I'm not upset, but I see that my rolling of my eyes is probably not what I want to be communicating.
It's some things that become habit forming that we just don't recognize.
Habit forming is right.
We have to build new habits.
Which you can do, right? Somewhere you learned to start every sentence with the word so. You learned it somewhere. And I know that your grammar teachers never recommended that. Say so every time you start a sentence. It sounds really good. They would have never have told us that. But we picked it up. We picked it up from somewhere. I always tease my participants who have little kids or even teenagers. I ask them, what is your kids' communication like?
Oh, my goodness.
And I would say easily 9 out of 10 times they'll grin at that and they'll say, oh, I'm constantly telling them to get to the point. I'm constantly telling them, stop saying you know.
Or like.
Right. And we pick it up. We pick up those habits. But that means you can change the habit as well and develop one or two or a series of them that really represents your reputation in a way that you can be proud of every day of the week?
I have two boys, 10 and 7, and they've been video chatting a lot with their friends. And afterwards, you know, sometimes it's not what my son says, it's what other people say. And I'll provide feedback saying, hey, don't do this. You know, and the biggest thing that I'm hearing from them is ending their sentence with, so yeah.
Are you telling me I have a whole nother generation to get my hands on?
Yeah. I think so yeah is the new and like.
Good. That's comforting. I'd like to believe I've got some job security.
There you go. You can get ahead of that trend.
That's right.
When it comes to influence, what are some of the biggest traps that you see people falling into? What are the things that hold people back the most?
The first one, and then I'll break it down deeper, is the lack of self-awareness. I'm so amazed by body language because you're physically, you're doing what you're doing. You're saying what you're saying. The disconnect of not realizing how we come across. That's number one. The second, lack of brevity. Mm. How many Zoom meetings have you been on that you're thinking, this is never ending? And we just have said the same thing over and over. It's lack of brevity, getting to the point, making sure that you're using pauses to give thought to how can I have impact through my message with less words? That's powerful. The third, with the amount of technology that we have and the need to constantly be multitasking, we've lost the real genuine ability to connect and engage with people. I mean, staying focused, having one conversation at a time. Imagine how much more you'll accomplish when you are not multitasking. But there's been numerous studies on this, Matt. One in particular still talks about no matter what generation you are, no matter what personality type you are, that when we multitask, our productivity will decrease by 50%. When we multitask, switching from subject to subject, I shouldn't say subject to subject, activity to activity, right, it will take us up to 6-minute increments to refocus on the next task at hand. As I hear myself saying this, I'm to blame. If I'm working on a project on my laptop and I keep my email open, I am back and forth and back and forth. When it comes to meetings, though, that's the time I'm there. I am all in because I also know that you don't have to do this with me today, Matt. You don't even have to share it after this. I want to respect you, your time, and truly make you feel like I'm honored to do this and I care, which not only will come through you and our conversation, but it also is communicated with those listeners. That's the least that you can do in a day is stop the multitasking when you're talking to someone. Just give them the respect. The fact that it doesn't always happen with the other conversations, I'm guessing they're having throughout the day, think about how you're going to stand out, which is a good thing.
Oh, yeah. You know, there's a lot of influence that can be built with being present with somebody and giving your full attention to them. And to me, that also goes back to empathy. People love to feel like they're understood and they love to feel like they're valued.
Yes, and to be heard.
Yes.
That's easy. That is something we should all be practicing right now with family members. Maybe if you're living alone, the Zoom calls that you're doing with your friends, if you're still doing those. I only laugh because I know there's a lot of fatigue going on out there right now. Or even just with your children. Well, imagine the power that what we're communicating when we're really connecting and engaging with people.
And that's when people start to open up and start to offer even more or start to buy into whatever you're saying.
So true. I'm working with a sales organization right now. We're talking a lot about communicating with empathy. They're saying they're having strong quarters. During all this stuff going down, they're having strong quarters.
That's great.
And when I asked them what was going on, they said it really is the empathy because through the open-ended questions, through the getting to know their clients on a more personal level, their clients are sharing more about their needs, their clients' needs, their challenges, whatever it might be, personally and professionally, which that's what's going to allow you to really adapt your message to what is important to them. And I know we talk a lot about adaptability. A lot of people don't do it. If you let your listeners, your customers, your teams, let them do the talking, you're busy really trying to figure out what are they really saying and how can I come in to that conversation at a much stronger level that does get me to get them to act on my recommendation a lot quicker than if I didn't have empathy.
When you focus on empathy, then it forces you to really listen to others. And if you're really listening to others, then you're not trying to focus on, well, what can I say next? To your point, what you said, you're listening to what people are saying. You're listening to what they're not saying. You're listening to their questions, and you're listening to the questions behind the questions.
That's key. And that's deep, right? Just because a client says to you, we don't have the time to do that. To me, time, budget, depending on the situation, I think there's more there. I think you haven't really communicated the value.
And to help them understand that you're not just focused on your own tactics, you're focused on their goals and how can you help them achieve their goals.
And who wouldn't want to follow that? Who wouldn't want to trust that? Especially because we don't see it a lot. I don't see it a lot that suddenly when you have someone taking that empathetic approach, you read between the lines here, you're going to stand out from the crowd. Influence is also influencing long after the conversation has occurred. They'll remember you. Whether they say yes to today or they don't say yes today, I've got proof of just running the business that I run, how clients come back to us years later, where 3 years ago, 4 years ago, we just had someone come back to us. We're still working on the deal. I shouldn't jinx it. I have not worked with this group. It's been over 7 years. And they recently came back and we're just examining how we can work with them. Even if it doesn't work out now, I know I've made the reconnection. And that's 7 years have gone by. When I say consistency, which brings up another point, Matt, it's also being consistent to build that relationship, not just when you're in person or you're via Zoom. Take advantage of the many other ways we can do this, and that's through social media. Make sure, though, that what you're posting out there is you. I see too many times inconsistency there where I know the person personally. I watch and I read their Facebook feeds or their Twitter, whatever it might be, LinkedIn. It's a different person. You want to be really careful with that.
Oh, yeah. It has to be consistent and you have to be the same person no matter where you are.
Exactly.
Stacey, we have learned so much from you today, and I really appreciate this, but I know you have a lot more lessons to teach people. Where can people go to learn more from you?
Thanks for asking that. And I truly, when I say this, reach out to us. We are all over social media. We don't sell on social media, Matt. We truly are just pumping. We want to pump resources out there to help people in any way we can. All you've got to go is go to our website and you can, whatever is your favorite social media that you want to follow, it's Stacey with an EY, HANKEINC.com.
And then in social media, you're in all the places.
All the places, yes. And we do, during this time, we've been sharing very brief videos via LinkedIn, our YouTube channel once a week to really help people still be developing their influence, developing their communication when we are living more of a virtual world.
Oh, yeah. Developing your influence hasn't taken a pause right now. I mean, it's just in different channels and in different environments.
I'm going to steal that from you. I like that phrase. Developing your influence doesn't take a pause right now. And that's really the big push we're telling our clients too, is now more than ever, virtual is a tough environment, especially if it's not something you are used to on a day-to-day. We love that human connection, that in-person connection. You still need to be developing your people. Now, I think more than ever, prep them, prepare them so that when we do get back in person, they are so much stronger than when we went to our homes.
That's right. When we get out of this, and we are going to get out of this, the people that have continued to focus on developing their influence are going to be that much stronger.
Right, exactly.
One last question before we go. if you were to create a soundtrack for Influence Redefined, what songs would you include?
This is all over the place, and I'm laughing because I think it's more of my journey through all of this.
Oh, fun.
All right, where should I start? I'm going to start with one first, Confident. That's no surprise, right?
Right.
Oh, I've got, I'm kind of looking through my list. What should I throw at you next? I love Let's Get Loud with Lopez because I'm all about, God, just stand out there and do it. And then I've got to go on the countryside, and I am a country girl. So I need to go Country Girl Shake It For Me by Luke Bryan. And then I've got to go with the good old Eric Church, Holding My Own.
Oh, very good.
There you go. That's the snapshot. Otherwise, I'd spend hours just talking about the songs that I'd want.
Oh, of course. No, but that's fantastic. And you know, I'm here in Nashville, so I get the country vibe.
You do. I'm envious of you. You definitely do. It's a great place to be.
Awesome. Well, Stacey, it was great seeing you again. Thank you so much for joining me, and I love all the lessons that you've been able to share.
You're welcome. It was so good to reconnect with you. Thanks so much for trusting me to do this.
I hope you enjoyed this From the Vault discussion with Stacey Hunke. So go and check out her book, Influence Redefined. It's full of lessons to help you level up your influence in all of your relationships. Next week, we'll be back to our regular schedule. So if you're not already subscribed, go ahead and hit the subscribe button, because it's going to make it so much simpler for you to get future episodes like the next one featuring Leslie Oflehaven. Now, if you've followed me for a while, then you know that one of the key behaviors that go into simple experiences is to lose the jargon. And there's no better person for me to talk to about that than Leslie, because she's an expert on using plain language in customer experience and in the workplace. So go ahead and subscribe. You'll automatically get Leslie's episode as soon as it's live. Until then, keep it simple.